This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Do you want to talk some about like how Dragonborn Society works and all that?
Yeah, it's just so interesting. Let's talk about how they live, because they do live in clans, right? It's
right.
Not going to be like some of the other races that are just like, I don't want to say nomads, because that's not the right word, but kind of scattered throughout wherever. They kind of
right.
have their own like tight-knit communities.
Right, they don't have as a sophisticated social hierarchy, but with Dragonborn, they actually do. And it feels very much like the dwarves in many ways, where it is clan-based, not necessarily family-based or kingdom-based. And there's a high, high sense of honor. It's all about, you know, knowing your role and your place inside of that clan and achieving that, doing things that are going to bring honor, not just to yourself, but also to the clan as a whole, and then choosing, you know, hyper focusing on whatever your role is in that clan, whether it's protection or it's healing or whatever it is, and becoming the best becoming a paragon. And it's that kind of almost like an Olympic athlete has to have like this very laser focus to do the thing mm-hmm. they do super, super well. It has to be kind of like that a little bit. They also too, because of that, they know that like they're not going to be like never ask for help. They're not haughty and proud, but it's much like the dwarves as well, where they would much rather ask another Dragonborn clan to help before they would ask literally anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get the sense that there's the kind of infighting and jockeying for position like the dwarves have with their clans. It's more about the kind of almost, not xenophobic, but very kind of like insular kind of vibe that they have, where they'd rather trust themselves and trust outsiders.
Okay.
That we see a little bit with like maybe some of the halflings or things like that, where they'd rather just be left alone and be themselves, but kind of really cranked up to the extreme.
Yeah, it seems like kind of the characteristics of having a lot of grit is like a big thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, this is a weird example, but kind of like wanting to participate in a Tough Mudder. It's like just this sense
yeah.
of like, no, you know, you've got to go the distance. And it's not because you're trying to prove something to someone else, but you're there to prove something to yourself, because, you know, this is something that's meaningful to you. But it also will make your family proud or whatever it might be. And then the other word that came to mind is tenacity, like very tenacious. Once I commit to something, it's going to get done. And it's my responsibility to do that. But if I can't, I will ask other people for help to make sure that I fulfill on this commitment to get it done. That's kind of
yeah.
what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think you nailed it.
So would you say that the Dragonborn, they're not going to be in clans based off of the dragon that they descended from, right?
Right. So a lot of that has gotten kind of like muddled and muted over the years, but there are absolutely certain indications and colorizations of like maybe what their progenitor was, but it's not based on that. Right. Now I could see very easily how there could be clans or even kingdoms that are really centered around certain colors, or metallic versus chromatic, or, you know, we only hang out with the red, green, and bronze ones. Maybe that's because of the environment they live in. Maybe because that's the kind of you know, breath weapon they have, something like that. But typically, it's not along those lines, which is kind of nice.
So they live in clans. They don't necessarily live in clans of the same type of dragon. Potentially,
mm-hmm.
you could spin it so like the same type of breath weapon might tend to congregate together, or some other attributes like that. What do they do? I mean, I know like dwarves, like they're forgers, and they, you know, they have these things that they pursue. So what do dragonborns tend to do in these communities? What do they pursue? What are they interested in
yeah.
pre-adventuring life?
Yeah, so it seems like with the dragonborns, they're less like the dwarves, gnomes, and elves, which have kind of a a central focus of what they do as a culture or what they're kind of proficient in. With them, it seems to be more about the outlook on life as the individual and that individual's place in larger society and how that makes it up. And so the really defining feature for them is that honor and that that striving to become the very best like no one ever was.
I just keep thinking you'll bring honor to us all from Mulan. Every time you're talking about honor, I just hear that little tune in my mind. Oh, yeah. Like you'll bring honor to us all.
Well, I was just quoting the lyrics to the Pokemon theme song. So, you know, to each their own. I'm gonna be the very best. All right. So that's more about them, that it is not less. So it's more like humans, right? Where they're like, humans aren't known for a thing, but they are known for their ambition and, you know, trying to do as much as they can with their relatively short lives, working with others to make those goals happen and being kind of like kingdom makers. So they're not known for being, you know, sailors. They're not known for being smiths. They're known for their ambition and the kind of like rush they're all in to mean something before they reach the grave. In a similar way, Dragonborn are very much known for that as well, about becoming the pinnacle of some particular thing that will help them and their clan. And then also noting for that kind of honor based lifestyle. And perhaps, you know, you joked before about Mulan, but perhaps the honor based system of Japan, especially in old days, might be a really great analogy.
Oh yeah, for sure. And honestly, that brings two very clear possibilities on how the Dragonborn would go adventuring. Because one, they're trying to bring honor to their clan for some reason. Mm-hmm. You could pick whatever it would be. Or they were outcast from their clan because they dishonored their clan. And now they're kind of a nomad and they're just off having to make their own way because they dishonored their clan in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of those would be really, really easy ones to do and very much in line with the way that Dragonborns are portrayed in the player's handbook.
So how common are Dragonborns? We've kind of talked about how common you're if you go to a city or when you're traveling, how likely it is you're going to see some of these other races. Are Dragonborn going to be everywhere? Is it going to be pretty rare? How often would you say you'd run into Dragonborn?
Yeah, I don't think that they're as common as the big three, humans, dwarves, and elves. I think they probably are more along the lines of like semi-exotic. Like you're not going to stop everything and look at the Dragonborn walking down the street if you're in, you know, like Waterdeep or something. But they're akin more to like, you know, gnomes, halflings, and that kind of thing. Maybe a little more prevalent than the tieflings or like a half orc or something. But so, you know, they're kind of in that second tier of commonness as it would be in a large city. So if you're in a big, big city like Waterdeep, absolutely, you're going to see them. They might run the tavern. They might be running the shrine to Bahamut, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you go to a smaller place like the 10 towns up in Neverwinter, maybe a lot more rare. There might be like, you know, a total of like 12 in the whole 10 towns or something. But a lot of times when you get those official source books and adventures, they'll talk about the mix. And it seems like that should be pretty consistent.
So how would a Dragonborn join an adventuring party? Because if they're prone to only asking for help from other clans or other Dragonborn, what do you think would be the hook that would persuade them to work with this motley crew of adventurers that tends to make up a D&D party?
Right. So I think in the sense of, you know, them not wanting to ask other people outside of other Dragonborns for help, more goes along the line of when a Dragonborn is in their own community. Right? Because you have people you can turn to. When you're out on your own because you've been disgraced, especially, or you're on a quest to find something or to deliver a message or to kill the guy who killed your paw, whatever, you know, then you don't have a choice. So as the individual, it's not about, well, I don't trust outsiders. It's as the individual, it's like, well, I need to accomplish this as best I can. And working with these fools is the way for me to achieve that.
Okay. That makes sense. That kind of clarifies that. A little bit too. Is there anything else notable about Dragonborn culture that we should cover before we move on?
I think there's some interesting things with the names in the player's handbook. They have a kind of an interesting naming convention, kind of like how the gnomes had a very interesting one. Mm-hmm. So they put their clan names first because honor. And then they have their own personal name, and there also might be like some names they have as kids, like nicknames, but then they have like their actual like adult name as well. So, you know, it's again, I feel like there's some hints here with the last name going first to some Asian cultures again. Maybe that's what they're trying to make a nod to, where the family name comes first and then you have the personal name. Mm-hmm. But also like in Russian, where, you know, Alexei and Sasha are the same person in Russian novels, because Sasha, obviously to Russians, is a nickname for Alexei. And you're like, wait, what? But
wait, this person has split personality? What's going on here?
Gosh. Yeah. The Russian literature is ridiculous like that, because it's like there's like 12 names. There's only two characters. And you're like, I'm so lost. But for Russians, it makes sense. At least that's what I've heard. Russian listeners, let me know. So the childhood names would be things like they're known for, like climber, earbender, shield biter, zealous, pious, that kind of thing. And then clan names are ridiculous, because a lot of dragon names, if there's a name dragon in an adventure you're running, the older they are, the longer it is, and the more consonants and less vowels you get.
Was like that just like your birthday present every year? You get to add, like, you spin the wheel and add mm-hmm. six random letters that you get onto the end of your name?
Yeah, but I think it's more like every decade for dragons. But yeah, exactly. It looks like Swedish furniture names. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how long they get. And so in the book, there's some really great ones, like Finken Ga Brendan. That's all one word, by the way, or Meldrivan, or Yargerit, or Verthisathulurgirish. Yeah. See, I'm not even going to try. So
you did great.
And those come first when you talk to someone. So nicknames are going to be pretty common, I think, if you choose to go with this, but it's still very, very interesting. And then like the first names are actually a lot easier, a lot more simple, like Donar, Torin, Akra, Theva, like very simple ones. But a lot of them have those kind of hard consonant sounds that, you know, kind of will follow like consonant, vowel kind of idea, with some, you know, letter groupings like double consonants for like N's and M's, or TH's and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But very kind of hard sounding names.
So they would introduce themselves with their full formal name and then likely be like, but you can just call me Bob or whatever it might be. Would you think? Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I don't know if they would say, but you can call me Bob. I think they would be like, but you may call me Drevdin. And they're like, okay, good, Drev. All right, no problem, Drev. You know, and then later they're like, you know, they love it. So that's kind of the arc typically, I think.
Thanks for tuning into the Compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you are always the first to know every time a new episode is published. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can also follow us on social media by looking up The Compendium, that's Compendium, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.